Podcast. I'm your host, Whitney Shio.
And I'm your host, Pesa Shio. I'm Whitney Shio's husband.
And this is the place where we believe that all marriages have a chance to be not only awesome and fulfilling, but long-lasting.
Yes, every marriage has a chance to be awesome and fulfilling.
And you guys can always find us on Twitter. I'm at Whitney Shio.
And I'm at Pesa Shio.
And of course, you can like us on Facebook too.
At Facebook.com/ Live Your Best Marriage.
Absolutely.
So, Whitney, what are we talking about today?
So, you know, like there's something really interesting that I've discovered lately.
What is it?
It's that, well, I guess I didn't discover it lately, but like it's been bugging me
more. Long time ago?
Yeah, it's like bothering me more now.
So are we going to have an expose today?
So I just want to exchange some ideas on how to deal with this problem. Like some people are like really easily offended.
Okay.
But at the same time, like those people are like very quick to offend.
Okay, so
you know what I'm saying?
So they get easily offended.
Right.
But they are also out there offending other people.
Like, it's something that I've been noticing lately because I wanted to bring up emotional intelligence, like in the context of marriage.
Emotional intelligence?
Yeah, like just the ability to like not only identify your own emotions and how to handle them, but also recognize ones that others have, and then just how to interact with other people.
So where do you get this emotional intelligence?
That's kind of how I see it.
Do they teach it at school or?
I don't know. Like, honestly, I really think a lot of it has to do with what kind of attitude you have.
Okay. There goes the word again. Attitude.
Yeah. I feel like attitude is, when they say attitude is everything, now I get it. I totally, totally believe that.
And I've always known that you are everything.
Aw, isn't that sweet? Aw. Okay, yeah, I just totally, like, forgot what I was going to say. And because I think that from what I've noticed, like, people who are close to me who do this, they are, like, pretty negative. Okay. So I would say their attitude is not that great.
And so are you still talking about the people who offend and also get offended?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and pretty much like what I'm wondering is how is it like if someone is quick to say something rude to someone who's close to them or just to whoever, how is it that they are the same one who will turn around and be like so upset that someone said something insensitive to them or they perceived it to be rude?
Do you think it's because they are more aware of of people being rude to them? Do you think there's something that makes them more aware or like, because they are being rude to other people?
Well, no, because like that brings the question like, okay, well then are they just really sensitive?
Yeah.
But if they were sensitive, then why are they rude?
Because if they were sensitive, they would be nicer, right?
Like, that's just something that I've been trying to figure out lately because I want to know, like, how can someone deal with this if they marry a person who acts like that? Because we got an email the other day from one of our followers on our blog. Mm-hmm. And they were just expressing how challenging it is to relate to their spouse this way. So so what it did was it made me remember just other people in my life who act like this. And so that's what I want to figure out.
So you think it's because they are not smart emotionally?
No.
They don't have emotional intelligence.
No, I didn't mean it like that. That doesn't come out right.
Okay.
What I mean is like, maybe there could be like, they might be thinking their feelings matter slightly more than your feelings. Does that like, anyway, that's just me thinking about examples that I've experienced. Like it just comes out that way. It just seems like the other person really thinks that their feelings are more important than what I think or what I feel.
And you know, from what Stephen Covey said, we need to seek to understand. Do you think maybe they're hurting? Maybe they're hurting, and because hurt people hurt people.
I'm sure that's true.
Maybe it's not them speaking, it's their pain that they are going through,
emotional pain. I can totally see that. I think that makes sense, because I guess there could be like some underlying insecurity or something that is making them upset, and then they react a certain way.
Okay, so them being upset, them hurting.
But I definitely think that in regards to marriage, if let's say someone shows up for work.
Okay.
And they are very quick to start spilling negative stories about their spouse. So that in a way can kind of show you that they don't really keep boundaries for themselves. Like, if they're not keeping any of their problems to themselves,
okay,
then there's a very high probability that they will cross your boundaries.
So this only applies to them when they talk about problems between them and their wife, not when they're talking about happy times between them and their wife.
The happy times, I don't know. I mean, just the way I view it is like, if you're happy and you're sharing like these really inspirational, great things that are going on.
Okay.
I don't see a problem. I don't really see the problems. But if someone is actually coming and telling their coworker, especially of the opposite sex, a story about how their spouse is just screwing up, or how about like they're unhappy at home.
Yes.
To me, I would take that as a sign that they will be very quick to cross my boundaries. Like they'll invade like my personal space.
And also take your stories to somebody else.
No, well, yeah, that's part of it. But what I mean, like in the context of marriage.
Okay.
I'm saying like, if they're quick to cross that line of talking about marital problems with you, then I just think that there's a chance that they could end up like not honoring your boundaries with your spouse. Like they might, like, because I've seen how like emotional affairs can creep up very fast.
Okay.
Because we, like all of us as humans, like we just think like, oh, it's just talking.
Yes.
What's wrong with talking?
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes. And I think our pastor had told us that out of the abundance of your heart, that's what you speak. Mm-hmm. So it's not just talking. You are actually saying what you really represent.
Mm-hmm. Right. And like, so I mean, just in general, if like you're considerate of others, just in that you don't cross boundaries and things like that, like you don't air your own dirty laundry, and then you're more likely to honor their boundaries.
So if these people have problems, like marital problems, they should keep it to themselves and then go to maybe to a counselor or somebody who they know that like is somebody who's trained for, they can talk to or something like that?
It could be like they can talk to their spouse, they can go to counseling, they can talk to a trusted friend, longtime friend.
Yes.
But I've seen things in the workplace where people are very quick to tell someone of the opposite sex, and it's just like, oh my gosh, are they seriously like talking about that right now? That has
It comes out like more like gossiping. Gossiping.
No, it comes out as gossiping, but it's if you read that book, Close Calls.
Okay. Yeah, I've seen you reading that book.
The pastor was Dave Carter.
Yes.
He explains how these emotional affairs come up really quickly, and they all started from two people who were married to someone else sharing their problems at work. Like just sharing too much personal information.
And you even told me that book, they were talking about pastors who are doing the same thing. Like,
Yeah, I don't know. I know I heard one story about a pastor that happened to But like, what happens is when they start sharing this personal information, they begin to feel really comfortable. They feel like the other person is meeting a need that their spouse is not meeting.
Okay.
If that makes sense. And like, this is something that I've been more aware of recently, just because I made a decision to distance myself from negative talk and negative media.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really watch very much TV anymore, because it was just, I felt like it was just becoming overwhelming for me. There weren't like enough positive things happening on TV. It was just like bugging me. Yeah. So, what has happened recently is I have a couple of close relatives who they'll come to me and start gossiping about the other. And so, but me, like, honestly, I would really prefer to just be either a neutral or impartial person, or even better, just be left out of it completely.
Have you told them?
So I did. Finally, I did. It got out of hand. And I was like, you know, whatever drama you guys have going on, I think you should just keep it between each other. I really, really don't want to hear it. And I said it like in the nicest way that I could. And I'm pretty sure that made me drop like 500 cool points with them, if I even had any to begin with. But anyways, that's just something, because negative talk actually brings negative energy to you.
Yes.
And that's, I mean, I'm 31 years old, so it took me this long to learn that, because I always just thought, oh, it's words. You know, like, oh, it's just talking. What's the problem?
And they say, like, words, somebody say, like, words won't hurt you, but, like, sticks will break your bones. Have you had that?
Yeah, sticks and stones will break my bones, but your words can never hurt me. But,
they hurt you. They do.
It's, and yeah, it could be really annoying if someone is a downer. Mm-hmm. They are actually projecting this, just this negative energy onto you, and it can drain you.
No, it drains you. Yeah. I mean, you feel like sometimes you talk to somebody and after you're done, you feel like you've been robbed.
Yeah. Somebody either can build you up, or you feel like they took something from you.
Yeah, like you feel just like, by having my God,
a conversation.
You just feel tired.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so maybe you can share with us what Darren Hardy from Success Magazine talks about.
Oh, he was talking about how media and all the negativity from the media, how the negativity from the media really affects people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, well, the example he gave about if you're sitting there watching TV.
Yes, if you're sitting there watching TV and if this guy comes into your living room and start talking so much bad things to your daughter,
mm-hmm.
About murder, about just craziness to your daughter,
mm-hmm.
you wouldn't let him do that in the living room. But so Darren Hardy was able to make it that, hey, but you are allowing this thing to happen every day in your house from the TV.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Right. So
from the media.
So yeah, he was talking about just all the foul language and everything. He's like, you allow that into your living room through your TV, but if a friend or a neighbor came over and started talking that way, you would probably not think that's the nicest.
No thing. Way. You'll say no way.
In front of your kids.
Yes.
Yeah. So and, he gave that example.
And we're not trying to be all legalistic and all Pharisees and everything, but
no,
these things actually matter, and we mm-hmm. took us a long time to get it.
Yeah, I never knew.
Yeah,
I literally just thought, like, okay, someone can say whatever they want to say, and then I can decide what I want to think after that. But it literally has this really I can't even describe it. Like, it affects me a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. So does that mean because it affects you, you have a high or low emotional intelligence?
I don't know. I really don't know.
I mean, I'm just trying to see how it works compared to emotional intelligence.
But you know what? One thing that it does remind me of is it reminds me that when someone says something hurtful to you, one thing you can remember is that actually says more about that person than it does about you.
Yes.
Because I've always been, like, I'm usually, if someone says something insulting to me, I feel it. I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess I'm really flawed or whatever, like whatever the thing is that they're telling me. I'm like, yeah, I messed up with that. Yeah.
So you actually say, oh, I'm flawed. So
I used to. No, no. What I'm trying to like fill in the blank, like okay. Whatever they're insulting me about. Okay. Like I will actually, I used to take it personally.
So do people insult you and say, you know what, you're flawed?
No. But now I feel like I'm at least mature enough. I don't know if I'm emotionally mature, but like I'm mature enough to realize like, okay, actually that person probably has a much bigger problem than the one that they're causing me.
Yes.
Like whatever they're saying, if they're saying something mean, most likely it's because like they just have some issue going on. And yeah. It's not really about me at all.
Because they say that when you speak, that's actually a window to your soul. Like,
mm-hmm.
Because what you're saying reflects who you are. So basically mm-hmm. When you're speaking, it's like you're showing people who you really are.
Yeah. So you can, just by listening to them,
yeah.
You can kind of know like how they're feeling.
Yeah. Or who they really are.
Mm-hmm. Who they really are. I don't, yeah. So, yeah, so that's really difficult to deal with people like that just in everyday life. But if you're married to someone
yes.
who has these issues, I really can see how that would be challenging.
And what do you do? Especially what if you have high emotional intelligence and your spouse has low emotional intelligence?
You know, I wanted to ask you for the solution because Pesa has always been known as a very good mediator. And yeah. Like in our family and among our friends, like he's just always been really good at helping people see everybody's side or like see both sides of the issue.
Okay.
And then reach a common... I don't know.
Just reach a common ground, like just just help them see each other's points mm-hmm. of view. Yeah.
So okay, so let's assume there's a husband and wife, and one of them just really acts as though their problems or their concerns mm-hmm. are more important than their spouse's. Do you like? How do you help them make their spouse's concerns a priority also?
You know, at first, I like to bring them to find things that they have in common, which mm-hmm. are easy to for them to agree. And mm-hmm. one of them is maybe they have kids and mm-hmm. they love their children.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or just remind them how they fell in love and just bring those positive emotions
mm-hmm.
that brought them to where they are to this moment and mm-hmm. remind them that the fact that they are two individuals, two mm-hmm. different people living together, mm-hmm. there will always be some friction, some misunderstanding. And the more they are together, the more these opportunities arise. But at the same time, the more they are together, there's also so many opportunities to bond
mm-hmm.
and to come closer.
Mm-hmm.
And once you get them to see that they have something going on, that they can, there's something they have in common,
mm-hmm.
now we can start addressing the issue that we have in hand,
mm-hmm.
which might be, most of the time it's little things.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't respect me. She doesn't understand me, things like that. So mm-hmm. those are pretty easy to mm-hmm. help them see the bigger picture.
Okay.
And if it's a problem, one thing I've always liked to do, if it's a problem that people are having, I love to put it in perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just in perspective. So when we are in our relationship and we think we're having a problem, but if we compare it to somebody else's problem, all of a sudden we realize ours are pretty much nothing, mm-hmm. as much as we thought they were huge.
Right.
So first find common ground, and then take the problem that we have, put it in perspective.
Mm-hmm.
After that, try to see who's going to give in. Like,
right.
Just, yeah.
Right. So that's awesome. That's great.
But I think just seeing problems in perspective, like,
mm-hmm,
oh,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
like we think we have a problem right now, but there's somebody who just lost their spouse. That really helps them realize that although they thought what they had was huge,
mm-hmm.
the fact that your wife is not talking to you right now is nothing.
Yeah, and I think in addition to that, what I would also like to encourage is when a problem comes up, let's view it as a problem. Let's not view our spouse as one huge walking problem.
Okay.
And the reason I bring that up is because the way I was raised, I had severe punishments as a child. Not in the form of spanking. I mean, we had some spanking. But what I mean when I say severe punishment is I was always given a permanent label.
Oh.
When I messed up. So when I made a mistake, I was literally supposed to carry that mistake with me for the rest of my life because I was that kid who does that thing. Although it may have been something that happened once, or it didn't matter how big or how small the problem was. I was a problem, basically.
So you became the problem, right. Not somebody who did something.
Right, okay. Exactly. So, I mean, in our marriages, if we can, like, avoid labeling our spouse as, oh my gosh, he did that. I mean, seriously?
He always does that? Or?
Yeah, or he always does that. But no, like, if you can separate their actions from who they are. So I know in Christianity they say hate the sin, not the sinner.
Yes.
So if you want to, although that's not exactly what I'm talking about, like if you want to use that as the example, like deal with the issue at hand, but let's not just start viewing our spouse as they're just problematic or they're just a troublemaker. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. So if we can always keep those two things separate.
The spouse and the issue. So you are not condemning the person. You mm-hmm. are condemning
just what they did.
Okay.
And yeah, you're just trying to deal with what they did or what they said. Whatever it was that upset you. It's totally okay to hash out the problems. There's nothing wrong with that.
And we all make mistakes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But if you constantly are like trying to punish. So, and I read an article the other day that said it was for wives, and it said don't withhold sex as a punishment against your husband. So good. They were trying
that. I agree. I totally agree with that article.
That was one example that they gave. They're like, you know, if he said something really rude earlier in the day, don't...
Just ignore it.
Don't withhold that to pay him back. So...
You can pay him back with love.
So that's really interesting. But I'm a real wife. So that might be easier said than done sometimes. So I'm not like not wanting to pay back. I mean, like just in any way, or like even pay back with the silent treatment or something like that. You know, that's always really tempting. Like, okay, I'm just gonna. It's tempting to shut off sometimes. But basically, now that I'm learning more, I'm mm-hmm. finding out that means I was not able to separate my husband from the problem, like the thing that he did.
So what are you supposed to do? Just have a conversation? Because that's what I'll do.
I don't...
What I'll do is just not cut you off.
So what I'm proposing is like, yeah, conversation.
Yeah.
Yes, you can have a conversation. But basically you're able to get your issue resolved before it leads to any temptation to shut off or payback or punish, whatever you want to say.
Yes.
Yeah. Cuz bitterness can build up pretty fast.
And again, bitterness will lead to contempt.
Yeah.
And so. Contempt will lead to a divorce.
Divorce, yeah.
According to
Dr. Gottman. Yeah.
So. Man. So, I'm going to go back to the emotional intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
All these things we've talked about, I still don't understand that. Is that going to make me more emotionally intelligent or less emotionally intelligent?
I don't know. I'm guessing it would make you more.
More.
If you're able to recognize how you react to problems, how you view things, and just how you perceive things that are said to you, things that are done, things that are happening around you, and then how your spouse perceives things and then how they react. So it's just how you guys deal with each other. But
so are there like things that you'll know that, wow, this guy is emotionally intelligent and this other guy is not emotionally intelligent?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I honestly, I'm really clueless on that. But all I can say is from real life experience.
Yes.
I feel bad now that I know what I was doing. Now I feel terrible knowing that I actually was like holding a grudge like against my husband. Like, and I was actually.
I forgive you.
Thank you. And I was actually viewing him as a problem sometimes, like on those days when he would make me mad. I didn't do a good job of separating him from the issue at hand, is what I'm trying to say.
Thank you.
So, yeah, anyway, that's what I'm saying. It's not fun to be labeled, so.
And so don't label other people.
I would encourage.
Unless you're labeling them that they're great.
Yeah.
Positive labels are good, right?
Yeah. Positive, I don't know. Positive is okay. But.
But no label at all.
I don't know. I don't know. Just love. So
can I say you are beautiful?
Just is that love a, them. Is yeah, that a label? Yeah, you can tell me. You can say that as many times as you want.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's really not fun to have to feel like your mistakes are always with you, no matter what.
You are
like
always.
Because you might know that you're sorry for something, and you might know that you don't want to do that again or say that again.
Okay.
But if your spouse is constantly
reminding you,
like if your spouse is viewing it like, okay, it just happened again 2 seconds ago, but it's something that happened 5 years ago. I guess that's what I'm getting at. Cause I know of couples who like they had a big issue like more than 15 years ago, but one of them will still recite that story and talk about it like it's a problem right now.
What if it's an issue like somebody cheated? Do you want them just to forget it?
I'm not saying forget. No, I wouldn't say that, but my guess would be that for the person who cheated, it's probably not the most fun thing to have to relive that every single day like they're doing it right now. That would be my guess. Again, if you guys have decided to stay together, if you continued staying together for all the years since that happened, I would just assume it's probably not that great having it thrown up again. Like, I just.
And the other spouse might be feeling, you know what? I have to show them that I'm still in pain. This is my way of expressing that what they did is still painful.
I know. And I feel so, honestly, that makes me feel bad too. So I would just hope, I really honestly would hope that there's something that can be done to help them ease their suffering, both of them. Honestly, I totally.
Yeah, because one may be feeling like, you know what, he or she betrayed me. Yes. So I was like, So she betrayed me or he betrayed me, and I'm just expressing the betrayal or whatever. I'm still in pain, and I want him or her to feel the pain.
Yeah, of course. That sounds horrible. Yeah. And I genuinely would want both of them to find healing. I really do.
Me too.
So I'm not trying to take one side over the other, but it's, yeah.
Because when the rubber hits the road, when you come to real life, things can get a little bit heated.
Totally.
Because there's so many things working at the same time. Mm-hmm. And it's not just, it might be somebody cheated. This reminds one couple about another betrayal they had, and they might feel like, maybe they're already labeled, and they might feel like this is happening to them again. Mm-hmm. So there's just many, many issues which have to be broken down or whatever in a counselor's office or something like that.
Absolutely. And I'm not... We definitely are not coming from fairyland either, like make-believe land either, because there was a time in 2014 when I had postpartum depression.
Yes.
And so I, for almost a year, for like 8 months, every day I was fighting with Pesa, bringing up things that he did that made me mad prior to that year. Like literally, he didn't cheat. We didn't have cheating on my list of things, but on my list of things that I was total I mean, I became like this, oh my gosh, like
upset.
But now that that's over, I wish I did not do that. I wish I didn't react that way, because I'm sure that was not a fun time for him, but he handled it with grace, I can say that. So that was right after we had our third baby. And since then, we have stayed happily married, and we went on to have a fourth baby.
Yes.
So there's hope for everyone. There's hope.
So is there anything else about... I think we'll have to redo this emotional... Not redo it. We have to do another podcast about emotional intelligence. Mm-hmm.
Like a part two.
I just want to be more emotionally intelligent. Yeah, it just feels like it's something like... makes you a little bit more smarter. Now?
I don't know.
It just feels like, okay, I can go and tell my friends I'm more emotionally intelligent. That will make me less emotionally intelligent.
Could.
So
folks, just as a recap, I just want to encourage everybody to just keep boundaries up the best you can, stay positive, and again, if your spouse makes you super upset, it's okay to actually separate them from the mistake they made. And with that, once again, you can find us on Twitter.
And
I'm at Whitney Shio.
And I'm at Pesa Shio. And now you can find our podcast wherever you listen to your podcast. So we're on SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, or whatever else you listen to. So folks, until next time, God bless.